So I have on the line the founders, really, and creators of Voice 123 and now Voice Bunny. Please introduce yourselves.
Ladies first.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Tania Zapata, and I am the co-founder of both Voice 123 and Voice Bunny.
And I'm Alex Tornegre, the other co-founder. I'm on the technical side of the equation.
Now, how did Voice 123 all come together in the first place?
Tania, do you want to answer that question?
Well, it was a mixture of necessity and, I guess, creativity. Alex realized how hard it was for me to find work.
Because you're a voice talent. A lot of people don't probably realize that. You yourself are a voice talent. And at a time when there really wasn't any online marketing or aggressiveness in voice market, correct?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So basically he realized how hard it was for me to find work. And he thought, well, it will be so great if we can do this on the internet, you know, if we could do something that would allow voiceover talents to find, you know, work over the internet. And that's how it was born.
And where were you guys based at the time?
In New York.
In New York.
Out of a tiny studio where we used to live in Flushing, New York. And that's where it was based.
So were you at that time, Tanya, were you then doing the agency route with the voice services, or how were you voicing at that time?
I was doing several things. I tried to have some agents. It was sort of difficult, especially because, you know, I only do Spanish. So it was a very, you know, narrow,
yeah, especially in New York
market, the one I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to do different, you know, marketing things, like, you know, CDs basically what people was used to at the time.
So then I guess, Alex, that's kind of where you stepped in, because you have a technical background and understand the internet a little more, obviously, than those of us voice talent and not wanting to.
Yeah, this is back in 2002, when mm-hmm. we realized the opportunity. We launched Voice 123 in 2003, one of the best venues for Tania to promote her voice was to get her voice demo in a CD called VoiceOver Miami that she had to pay like $600 or so to get her 60-second demo on that package. And it was, this company used to send 4 or 5 CDs in one package to 2,000 agencies in the U.S. or so. And after she did that, then she had to sit and wait to see if she was lucky enough to get a call from an agent, one of the agencies that got that CD or those CDs. So being 2002, I realized, well, that's kind of weird that 2002 voiceover talents are still promoting themselves in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we went online and tried to realize what was happening online. And we found out that there were no online casting services at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to execute on the idea of a very simple casting service where talents could audition. So even though nowadays what you see in Voice 123 is a service where you submit an audition that you recorded already in your own with your own setup. Back in the day, we had a system that allowed you to do that, but it also allowed you to record the audition.
Right on there. Mm-hmm. I remember that. Actually, you know what? I remember, Alex, a producer called me one time. So this is when the voice recording services were available through Voice 123, as he's describing. And he said to me, he says, you know, he says, I got some really great auditions, but the quality was all different. And that's what deterred him for choosing some talent that were actually really good. So you later eventually changed that too, didn't you?
Yeah, and that changed, especially because most talents ended up having their own home studio. So mm-hmm. that solution was meant for talents that didn't have a home studio,
right?
That were voiceovers, but they would have to go to a given studio to do the recording. But as more and more talents ended up having their own home studio, we realized that that was obsolete. And the trend nowadays is that clients, voice seekers, they want to listen to not only to your voice as a talent, they want to listen to your audio engineering capabilities. They want to listen to how good you are at actually delivering a finished track. So so that's why nowadays it's expected that you do the audition in the setup that you are going to do the recording.
The expectations eventually changed, didn't they? Because like you're saying, at that time, really a lot of us voice talent didn't have home studios yet because there wasn't really much need for it because there was no place to be auditioning online. Everything was in person at that time. I mean, in retrospect, you guys, I mean, I'm always dumbfounded by the story because to me, our entire industry is all because of Tanya. And that is the way I see it. I always have, ever since you guys told me the birthing of Voice 123 and how it came about. And I am forever in gratitude to you both because you completely, and you know this, you completely changed the direction of where we sit today. No matter who likes or doesn't like it, it's a fantastic opportunity to be able to be voicing from home and literally in the comfort of your pajamas and be able to, like what you said, Tanya, get to a market that you can't easily get to. Now we're all over the world. It's so fascinating. So fascinating.
Thank you,
Debbie. I mean, I think that it was, you know, it's like this kind of things that happened. I guess by chance or luck too, because it was, you know, at the same time that all the technology for recording, you know, for having your home-based studio started to also become a lot less expensive.
This is true.
It was extremely expensive to have, you know, your own studio, even just one microphone.
Yeah.
Was, you know. Of course, a decent microphone was extremely expensive.
So, I remember in the 90s, I went online. So, you know, I started off on air and then I kind of I didn't do very well on air because I didn't like talking to myself without script, is what I later learned. And, you know, eventually I wanted to get back into voicing, but it was in a really, really small town market and there was no such thing in it. In that city, it wasn't who you knew, it was who you were related to. And I wasn't a cousin of anybody, so I didn't get hired on the local stations. And I wanted to find, you know, is there someone, we can do this on the internet? Because the internet was pretty new at the time for me. It was in the 90s at this time. And I found one guy online, I'll never forget this, I wish I would have wrote down his name, and he claimed he was the only man doing this online, period. But he explained it was, you know, some $10,000 setup for him to have set up his studio at that time, and now we're down to $1,000, if that.
Yeah, and in fact, we had a significant amount of traction from Canada back when we launched Voice 123, because in the U.S., most work was concentrated in either New York City, LA, or Chicago.
Right.
But Canada was already fragmented. So Canada was faster at
grabbing onto that
market. Taking advantage of the internet wave as opposed to the US. So I think that still today, proportionally speaking, we have more successful voiceover talents coming from Canada than the US.
That's interesting. And I was going to ask, you know, I mean, enough on the fact that it was a birthed idea, then it's a matter of actually putting into fruition. I can't imagine the things you must have researched to figure out even how to do this. The mind to that is incredible. And anything, of course, you ever want to share on that, I'm happy to hear. But I'm also fascinated by how you implemented clients to even, you know, buy into this. Or, I mean, I'm not asking you for your secrets, but, you know, how you even derived a clientele like this. Did you start with a very small base? Was there a certain number you had? Or did you guys have a strategy that way at all?
Well, in reference to stories, there was a very interesting thing happening when we launched Voice 123 originally, because we needed to set up a server that would allow us to, in real time, accept recordings from people recording from their own computer. As I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, we had that feature where you could simply use your computer mic and audition, right? There wasn't technology available for that in big data centers. There was a company with some experimental software that allowed us to do that, but we couldn't get that software to be hosted in a place where servers or websites are traditionally hosted. So we had to set that in our studio in New York City. But our studio was a very tiny apartment, so that meant that the setup wasn't professional for a for the hosting of a website.
Right.
So this computer was actually connected to the wall. However, it was connected to the wall to an outlet that was actually connected in turn to a light switch that was next to the door when you got into the studio. So one day we left the studio. My sister was visiting us, but we were to buy some groceries or something like that. And she calls me a few minutes after, scared because everybody was beeping in the apartment. So I had an alarm set that will beep in case the server was shut down. And what happened is that she was leaving the studio and she actually turned off the lights of the studio. And by turning off the lights of the studio, the recording server of Voice 123 went down. And we had a big crash.
Oh my goodness!
And then we were running back to the studio, and it took probably several hours for us to have the website up and running again because it was just a makeshift operation.
Oh my goodness!
So really, really funny.
And trying to go back to the question that Debbie was saying about how we started having our clients, you know, using the site. I think it was just that it was such a unique tool at the time that people just started, you know, like really, really playing with it. And then, you know, they would, especially people that it's in certain, you know, like industry, for example, advertising and or marketing, you know, they would pass on that, you know, word about, oh, you know, there's this site that it, you know, it helps you find voiceover talent so much easier, blah, blah, blah. So I think it was also that it was, it was just a lot of word of mouth.
Yeah.
And just the fact that the technology was so unique at the time.
And interesting because you guys lived in New York, but was a lot of the talent base then originally from New York, or you were saying a lot of your drive came from Canada. Is that both client and talent based, or is that more one side or the other?
I think that I would actually think that the majority of the voiceover talents that started coming into the website were voiceover talents that were not necessarily in the major cities.
Yeah.
Because the voiceover talents that were in the major cities, as Alex said before, were the ones that, you know, had a lot more access to, you know, the available jobs. It was actually the voiceover talents that were not in the major markets that started coming into the website. I mean, we had talents from New York and and LA and Chicago, but definitely I would say that it was, you know, the smaller markets.
So it really became through the marketing of the internet that really initiated even more so than the word of mouth then in some ways, and then of course that initiates more, right? Would you say that you like, because I don't even remember how I found out about Voice 123 other than what I remember the most is working with James Allberger, and that kind of launched me into everything from that point. So he had obviously already connected with Voice 123 and was already promoting it at that time too, probably. So it's very interesting at how it all came into fruition and in such a short time, because I came in quite close to the beginning as well.
Yeah, I think that it had to do a lot with search marketing. Before founding Voice 123 Italian, I had an online marketing agency, very, very, very small, and we used to manage search engine marketing campaigns for our clients, both search engine optimization and pay-per-click, and we took advantage of that knowledge to launch Voice 123.
Fantastic.
Nowadays, it's a completely different thing. I mean, it was the as with everything, when you are an entrepreneur or when you launch a business, it's a matter of what you do. It's a matter of the execution capabilities, meaning the idea, the execution capability, but also the timing.
Yeah.
And the timing was perfect for us because broadband was becoming mainstream.
Right.
The price of home studios was coming down significantly. and the search marketing was very new and few people knew how to do it. So if you knew how to do search marketing, you had an advantage as well.
Right.
Today, launching a business and depending on pay-per-click and search engine marketing, search engine optimization to grow doesn't make any sense any longer because there is a lot of competition. But back in the day, it made sense. Today, you have to be very good with social media.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be very good with different tools. So it changes and you have to
stay on top of that.
To try to time it and stay on top of it. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, that goes back to just also us as talent, because in the beginning because I was lucky enough to be more of a veteran in the online world, the competition was so much less. So it was much easier to book on the sites. And then, you know, as the site grows and as everything else grows, then things get a little more, more competition becomes, more jobs become, but it also gets harder to book and people start seeing changes in that too. But it's wonderful to see the growth in everything. Now, you guys made... I don't know if I call it an expansion, a change at some point where you kind of pulled out of Voice123 quite a bit and now have a team that staffs that for you at some point. You guys grew enough, obviously, to be able to release yourself, and now you are working on other ventures, which we'll talk about in a minute as well. So what brought that about? Is it just growth for you more, Alex? I know we've spoken before on a lot of Voice123 and how it works, and what was important to you was the statistical side, which for some people, they don't understand it. Because people are used to one-on-one conversations, one-on-one this, and it's not that, I'm not saying Voice123 isn't a one-on-one company, but I remember us having a conversation about how it works statistically, and that's why how you fill out your profiles is extremely important, and what you're auditioning for is extremely important, and I know you've adapted in several different ways. Do you want to share any of that with us?
Yeah, I mean, I've been a numbers guy always, and to some extent, what we try to do, and nowadays it's easier to explain, is we try to do with the voiceover industry what Facebook did with friendships and relationships.
Mm-hmm.
What Mark Zuckerberg was trying to do is he was trying to replicate in the virtual world the structure, the social structure that people has, that people have with their friends, and allow them to take advantage of the internet to ease the flow of stuff happening in such social structure.
Right.
So what I have always tried to do with Voice123 and now with Voice Money is to replicate in using code, using algorithms, what people tend to do naturally in the day-to-day workflow in the voiceover industry. And the more we can do that and the more we can replicate what happens in real life in the online world, the better the service is, to the extent that we make it more efficient. And that's why... I mean, today there are casting directors, definitely, but they are not as needed as before because we were able to replicate the work of a casting director in the system.
Yeah, I'm sure they love your company a lot.
No, actually, many of them use
it. They use it. I know they do. I refer it all the time, even for them when they're, you know, when they're stuck. I mean, we all do. Any of us that are ever hiring talent in any way, shape, or form, it's easy. It's quick. And it's getting quicker and quicker all the time because the demands are getting higher and higher and the expectations are higher and higher. But it is that easy and you can be overwhelmed. And I'm sure the clients are inundated with the amount of auditions and stuff that they do. But what I do really respect with your service and what Steve Lowell is implementing as well with the company now is how it really is always adapting. And I mean... it's always considering, you know, what's efficient for not only us, but also for the clientele base. And that's important because I know being in the client's point of view at times, rarely, but at times when I am, it's inundating to get 5,000 auditions, 100 auditions and going through them all and trying to remember who's what. It's like buying a house and all of a sudden all the houses look the same after a while and you can't remember one from the next. And I like the way the new system is working, and I know it's not brand new now, but for me it is because I stepped out for a little while. I like the way it's structured so that it is less competition when you're auditioning now because you're being more fussy about what auditions you're actually auditioning for. And I like the way the site is trying to structure us to be more fussy about the work and stop being the jack of all trades, right?
Exactly. And really what Marcus is trying to do in Voice123 in that sense is to replicate the work that, again, what usually would happen with in real life. Talents didn't used to submit auditions to everything that they would see out there, mm-hmm. because
they knew
if you have an agent and the agent sends you everything that gets to them, you're going to fail as a talent, because yes. you're going to be submitting auditions for a lot of stuff that you're not good for, so you're going to ruin your reputation. So that's pretty much what we are trying to do with yeah. Smartcast, yeah. trying to replicate what you do in real life. In real life, you don't submit to everything that you see, because it's going to damage your reputation. So it's just trying to copy.
Yeah, and it's a good system. It's really smart, because it is easier for us to get lost. It's easy for us to get lost in the fact that, oh, there's 25 auditions today. Oh, look at how many auditions I could be auditioning for. And at the same time, you know, it's very time consuming, obviously, for anyone doing that amount of auditions in a day. But you not as much as, I mean, I feel very talented. I feel I can pull off a lot of genres, and I do, but there has to be a focus time on what I'm best at so that other people can focus as well. You have to have areas of specialization, and this really helps us to start thinking that through better.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So now you guys have, I mean, I know Voice123 is always going to be a work in progress and ever adapting, but you guys now launched a second site. So, and I'm sure there's many more in between. Talk to us about Voice Bunny.
Tanya, you want to...
So why another site, first of all, Tanya? Why would you need another site? Why don't we start with that question?
Because I think that Voice123 has some limitations
okay.
that we wanted to explore it with Voice Bunny. So that's basically the reality. When we launched Voice123, we launched it based on the state of the industry at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said it before, the industry has developed a mm-hmm. lot. You know, the industry now, which I would say it could be considered an online industry now,
yes,
has changed a lot. So that's basically it. It's yeah. We're just adapting to times.
Okay, and so what are the differences then with Voice Bunny to Voice123? Why would someone, is it something you're encouraging? From what I understand with Steve, I just had a tutorial with Steve on what the current changes are with Voice123 and stuff, so I can stay up to date as well. But I'm understanding that Voice Bunny becomes a little more, like Voice123 is trying to really specialize in having working talents and maintain that stream of what it has. And Voice Bunny is now trying to integrate. Is it more frequency of auditions now? Is it changing the way, like, what are the differences?
The main difference is really from the perspective of the voice seeker.
Okay.
In Voice123, so from the perspective of the talent, I'm going to first talk about the perspective of the voice seeker. The voice seeker in Voice123 is usually a person that is very picky, and that's good. It's very selective about the voice they want, the voice they need. And once they find the voice they want to have a direct relationship with the talent. They want to direct the talent. They might want to have the talent go to their own studio or a studio that they arrange for, or they want the talent, they want to develop a long-lasting relationship with talent. With the talent submitting work that they send the talent directly, and Voice123 gets out of the equation. Now, there are some clients that prefer to have somebody in the middle taking care of the relationship with many other talents.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are doing translations, for example, video translations, and you need 40 different voices and you constantly need that, it's going to be difficult for you to handle relationships with 40 different talents. So in that case, you might want to have somebody taking care of that for you. And that's Voice Bunny. Voice Bunny is a service for clients where they prefer somebody else to manage a relationship with the talent. And it tends to work well for clients that have a high volume
yeah.
of voiceover requests.
Well, as I said, auditioning... Sorry, I'm listening to 100 auditions a day. If anyone has even experienced anything close to that, is a very daunting job.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And not only that, but many of those clients, because volume is very important for them, they don't necessarily need to listen to 20 voices before they pick one, yeah. right? They simply want to know that they're getting one voice that is good, that matches what they need. So from the talent perspective, that means that in Voice 123 is allowing them to develop long-lasting relationships with clients. In the case of Voice Money, the client for the talent is Voice Money, and they also can develop a long-lasting relationship with Voice Money.
Right. But it works more in a rate structure. I think one thing that has changed a great deal in the marketing is before it was – it is usually specifically based on the project at hand, where it's airing, what kind of project it is, and most of the pay-to-play sites follow that structure. But I do believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, with Voice Bunny, it works on structured rates. So you are allowed to select the rates you're willing to work with for a specific amount of time of voice, as opposed to breaking it up into genres of voice. Is that correct?
Yep, correct.
Yeah,
correct.
And that's really where things have changed.
Most of the clients in Voice Bunny are not the traditional clients of Voice 123. It's not for TV, it's not for radio. Most of this stuff is web-based, is educational, is long-format stuff.
It makes
so,
it narration.
So that it
yeah.
makes more sense to price it that way.
Yeah, and what's nice is you do allow the talent that are signing up to the site to give the range that they're willing to accept budgets in, and that's how you kind of pair up clients to the talent, right?
Exactly. Yep,
okay.
That's it.
And then the middleman, so does it become first come, first serve? Does it become skill-based? Does it, you know, where is the, what's the deciding factor then for who gets chosen for the jobs if the client isn't doing it?
It's a matter of persistence. I mean, not persistence, okay. Consistency.
Okay.
Meaning if you constantly deliver food reads, if you tend to respond to job requests relatively fast, those are the important factors. We have a very strict quality control in Voice Money, as well as we do in Voice 123.
Yeah.
But so everything that you send as a talent, we screen it, and then we forward that to the client of Voice Money.
Right.
And so if you are good in terms of quality, you get few rejections from us, then that increases your likelihood that you're going to get job opportunities with Voice Money. In fact, we really want to work with awesome talent in Voice Money to the point that our clients our talents in Voice Money don't have to wait for the client of Voice Money to pay for them to get paid. Mm-hmm. If you're a Voice Money talent, as soon as you deliver the read, as soon as you upload the audio, you get paid.
Oh, fantastic. Makes it quicker. And are you going to be using a online pay system for that?
Yeah, that's already set up. I mean, if you're a talent in Voice Money, you accept a project, you submit the read, and if you're a new talent, it goes through a screening process. If you have already, if you have an established account with us, you get created right away, and you can withdraw your money via PayPal immediately. So that's how it's set up and working.
So PayPal is used with that one. Fantastic. You know, and also I want to credit both Voice123 and Voice Bunny, because what I do hear from both the tutorial I took last week and now is that you guys are really listening to what's being submitted and things are getting critiqued. And for those of you that are newer, whether you like it or don't like it, it's very important that that happens, because a lot of the stuff people submit is not good studio quality. They don't know what they're doing yet. They're way too premature on submitting. And so hopefully these kind of things will help them to know that they need to prepare more. They need more training, or they need more experience levels, or whatever that is. And it becomes a little bit of self-teaching. I'm sure not everybody will like being rejected if their audition isn't sounding right, but it's for the greater good, obviously, in the end, which is the client. And the client is the one that's paying all the bills in the end, as much as we're paying subscription services to some and not to others, but there's still... there's that process for us, but I consider that the educational fund that I pay out. But then there's the client who's really paying for everything in the end, and that's who's most important.
Yes, and in fact, in Voice Bunny, even if you submit something that we don't like, we still give you many chances for you to correct the issues that you had, whatever issue was it, background noise or normalization or just the performance you had, whatever it is, we give you many chances of you submitting it and getting feedback from us before mm-hmm. we tell you, hey, please stop.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I'll propose to you the same thing I did with Stephen is maybe perhaps we can look later with these companies as having affiliate coaching accessible to them too. So if they aren't ready, here's where you can go to try and get some help. But I know that's difficult because then that becomes a whole soap opera drama and that gets in there. But, you know, there are sites that are now critiquing the coaches and making, and you know, kind of like what you would do with the talent is saying, okay, you're ready for this, but you're not ready for this. It's the same kind of thing, coaches that are ready to help students get along the way so that they're not wasting their time and money. We like them to see them getting back when they're giving, obviously. And I know you guys do as well. Everybody wants everybody to work in the end.
Yep. And definitely we are looking forward to that with Waste Money. I mean, we do it with Waste 1-2-3 already. Mm-hmm. Waste Money is still very new. I mean, it's very experimental. We are still, we don't know whether it is going to be a long-term business or not. Mm-hmm. It might work. It might be shut down because it's an experiment. And as you probably know, we love to run experiments. So if it's here to stay, when we realize that's the case, we'll definitely explore ways of making sure that new talents arriving to Voice Money know which path to take by talking to the proper coaches.
Absolutely. Thank you. And so Tanya, are you still working as a voice talent, I hope, or are you too busy now?
I am. No, fantastic. I am. I still do. I really like to do voiceovers, so I still do.
Wonderful.
And just like any other voiceover talent, I do get rejected sometimes. I do audition. I don't get jobs. So I understand. I mean, I totally understand what voiceover talents go through. And I love it. I mean, like you said, it's a learning curve, and I think that voiceover talents are always learning.
Absolutely,
because this is an industry that is
always birthing. Yes,
right. I mean, it really depends on what the client is looking for, and sometimes. So yeah, what I wanted to say is that people should not take it personal. It's clients are always thinking about what they need, and I mean, sometimes your voice doesn't fit that, you know, that search.
Yeah, and it's hard. It's hard. I know a lot of talent take everything personal, and I know I hear a lot of this too. Where one thing I like with Voice 1-2-3 specifically is that it gives you a rating system, so you get a good idea where you fit. And for me, the education, I've always promoted Voice 1-2-3. Period, but I really promote them as an educational site because I like the education that I get auditioning X amount of auditions every day, especially in the beginning of how the system was. I know with the SmartCast system, it changes it, but it still, for me, I know what I focus on and what I can do and what I can't pull off. If I can make those top 10 percentile, I'm patting myself on the back because then I'm doing my job right to that audition. But being in the decision makers' chairs at times, and I used to be casting director, it really always varies depending on so many different things. The person they're casting you next to, one person didn't like it. And actually currently for me, which is very interesting, is I'm learning that in some of these auditions I've been doing lately for TV series promo specifically, I'm getting this comment every time. Can you just talk to me like you really talk, Deb? And I just want to shoot them because I'm thinking, are you serious? That's what I do. This is what I'm trained at. So I'm like, what do you mean more natural? Aren't I being natural? But I've learned, and on my own in some ways, but what it is as my voice ages, more of my sultry comes out. And the more my sultry comes out, the more the women don't like it. And that's the truth. Because I'm in with this client just a few weeks ago, actually, and it was the same kind of direction at first. And then the girl goes, you know, I mean, I love your voice, believe me, and I shouldn't be. And I'm like, oh, okay, whoa. And so all I had to do was put on a younger voice. I went back to when I first started, which was in my early 30s. So I was in as far as the online stuff goes, so I was in a much younger voice at that time, and it was more up here. In this tone. And as soon as I get up in this tone, suddenly I get hired more. So it can be something as simple as that. You know, I mean, there's so many different variables as to why we do or don't. And teaching them not to take it personally is a really hard job, because they do. But I think something you hit on there, Tanya, was that the clients, as you started to say, I was going to fill for you, is that the clients don't take this personally. This is work. That's all it is. They're just making work decisions, not personal decisions. And for us, this is a business. This isn't personal, you know, and so it needs to be treated as such as well.
Exactly.
Well, I'm proud that you're still voicing.
I understand it when, you know, like when you audition, and some people do audition a lot, and you know, sometimes that learning curve takes a little longer than for others. It could be frustrating, but
be patient.
But it's going to happen.
Yeah. Be patient and you know, believe in what you have, and patience will help through. So
learn, because that's what actually makes the difference. Do take,
workshops and classes and coaches. Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I'm sure you guys would agree. You've heard a million, you guys probably heard more demos than most people. You know what you're getting into first, and don't jump. A lot of people really jump the gun and produce a lot of stuff before it's ready. And I'm sure you guys have a million stories of clients who will say, hey, they're just not ready. Don't be posting stuff, because I won't go back to them again.
Correct. And that's one of the reasons we developed Smartcast also. Mm-hmm. We, back in 2006, 2007, before we launched Smartcast, we had some projects that were getting over 600 auditions.
Yeah.
No person that is going to listen to 600 auditions. No. Auditions, mm-hmm. Especially when half of them were... Not
close to capable. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And probably more than half of them. I mean,
where we had auditions in other languages. That's how crazy it was. So, and the issue with that is that not only the client was wasting a lot of time, but also talent. I mean, if you have to submit, if there is a project with 600 auditions, that means that, again, statistically speaking, you'll have to submit 600 auditions in average before you get one booking.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's really bad.
Yeah, it's not healthy for anybody. Mm-hmm.
So we had to do something so that the audition to booking ratio will improve significantly, so that it makes sense to continue auditioning. So that's why.
And I think it's really important that the clientele, being the talent in this case, that they really understand that, because a lot of people don't understand that the system is actually to benefit them completely. And I think that's, you know, that word is out now much better than when it was first implemented, but not on your behalf. I just mean that we are now talking about it as there's a positive in this, and we understand what that direction is. So I want to just reiterate that.
We failed significantly at explaining what we were trying to do, mm-hmm. what we were trying to achieve. I mean, you can definitely tell my thick accent. We are immigrants to the U.S. and we did something that ended up changing the way that many people worked.
Yeah.
And we were afraid that we were doing something wrong. And because of that, we ended up kind of hiding. And as a consequence, we were not outspoken. We were not explaining people what we were trying to do. And some people had told us that they had this idea that we were actually bad people hiding from the industry, because we were making money from it, and that's all we wanted. And the reality is that we were afraid, really, that because some people didn't like what we were doing, that we were making mistakes, and we wanted to keep a low profile because of that, because we were shy. Only now is that we are realizing, you know, it's better to go out, try to people, explain what they are doing. Steven has done an awesome job in Voice 123 as community manager. We are trying to do the same with Voice Bunny, because we definitely failed at communicating properly what we were trying to achieve.
Very interesting. I really didn't know that, Alex, and now a lot of stuff makes a little more sense to me, because there was low profile for a long time, and how heartfelt. So I'm glad we've had an opportunity to actually talk about that and explain it to others, because they don't know that. You know, we all don't know that, and that's important for us to know, because I do know that we are all a team in this online world. And the one thing about voiceover, I've been in other industries, specifically in the acting side of things, but most industries are not very very together. They're more apart and dog eat dog. And voiceover in itself in the online world, not in the local market. The local market is still the same as the acting market. It's very dog eat dog, and no one wants to help anybody. But in the online world, there is so much help out there from all of us. That goes from me to you to the sites that have been created. I mean, this has become a team as opposed to a horde ship. And I'm always ever grateful that people have opened up to that to really realize how together actually this is. So we all want to work together with you, and I know you do as well. And so I'm grateful to know that was what was going on with you guys, and feel bad for you at the same time. I wish I would have known how to grab you guys myself.
Well, I also think that people were afraid of what we were doing, and they thought that, not only that maybe we failed at communicating what we were doing, but I think that what we failed at were communicating that our idea had a positive.
Right.
It was positive. We definitely created it from a positive standpoint, because we wanted to, do something for the voiceover talent.
Yeah.
So I think that's what we failed at communicating. But I also think that, some of the people that were afraid of what we were doing were extremely vocal. And I guess, that had a little bit of an impact. And
probably unnecessary. So, I guess that goes to both sides. Whereas as you're taking responsibility, maybe more communication would have helped them to not get into that mode. But at the same time, the one thing about the I call it the voice drama world, which is the forums and everything else, is, I don't have time for soap opera and drama. And in my opinion, anyone who feels the need to post something negative without dealing with the persons at hand, I think that says a lot about their personality as well. And you know what? I'm one to post and make comments on things, but I make it relevant to business and how it affects me, because the rest of the world doesn't affect me in that regard. And so, I just employed anyone who is... anyone who's complaining about any kind of service, I think as long as you're going to the heads first of where you need to actually complain to make an actual difference, until you've done that, you shouldn't be deciding what it is or what it isn't, because we didn't know. And the safest place to stay is neutral, because we didn't know. I know that I myself was thinking it was like we were being punished for doing too many auditions at first. And then but what I did is, instead of expressing that to someone, I went to Steve and said, okay, Steve, what's going on? how is this working? And Steve was very cooperative. There's a tutorial, here's what we're doing. And so then I got to learn, but unfortunately it took that tutorial. So then I had to explain to all the other students, okay, you got to take this tutorial, because it's not what they're doing. So that also became group communication for all of us to help you, so that we can explain to those that we're sending your way, as well as to what they need to and why this is happening.
Exactly. I think that it's got to do, again, a lot with our failure communicating. Mm-hmm. Also, it has to do with the perspective of the talent.
Yeah.
For example, SmartCast. Yeah. If the pickier you are, the better you're going to do with
SmartCast.
That's
right. Mm-hmm.
So you can, if SmartCast is not sending you invitations, or you do something that is going to push SmartCast to not send you invitations, you can consider that SmartCast is penalizing you. And that's a negative perspective, but you can say that, right?
Yeah.
But you can also say, if I am selective, mm-hmm. SmartCast is giving me more opportunities. And
exactly.
That's a positive perspective in terms of what SmartCast is doing, and that happens. The more selective you are, the more opportunities you get with SmartCast.
And which is what all the pros were asking for, because they all said that, oh, I don't want to be wasting my time on $100 here and fighting for rates here and doing this here, and they all asked for it, and then all of a sudden it gets implemented, just unfortunately not in the way they understood it, but that's exactly what this is trying to do, is so that you're only auditioning for jobs you need, you're good at, and that are in the budget range you want to work in.
Yeah, but it wasn't that most people, so this is something interesting, it wasn't that most people didn't get it or most people didn't like it. We actually did, I'm a numbers guy, so mm-hmm. we ran an analysis, and we realized that if a talent was happy with the service, he would in some instances share his experience online with other talents, with Voice 123. But if a talent wasn't happy with the service, he was 17 times more likely to share his experience with others.
Yeah, goes back to old school. Negative's always easier to share, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. So because of that is that we ended up sticking to SmartCast because, yes, there were some people very outspoken about it, but we realized that there were many, many, many others that were happy about SmartCast but were not sharing that online. Mm-hmm. So, and that's why the amount of talents, especially premium talents in West 123 has continued growing even after we released SmartCast because most talents actually like what we are offering.
Absolutely.
But as with everything that is good for business, most people prefer to keep it as a secret so that they have less competition.
That's right. I know. Well, I know I'm a firm believer and firm supporter. I always have been and I always will be. I think you guys are wonderful and I love your story. I always have since the beginning. I just think it's a grandfathering thing for our industry, and I think it's important. And you guys have really initiated something that has grown into leaps and bounds, and I'm sure not even of the expectation that you would have had. And you know, it's like the Pepsi Coke thing. Now there's competition, and everyone and their dog wants to do exactly what you guys started. So I just say on behalf of everyone, thank you. Because without you, I wouldn't be sitting at home in my PJs talking to you.
Thank you very much, Debbie.
Oh, it's sincerely.
And it's because of the support of people like you that understand what's happening, that understand that the only constant is change, that these kind of services are adopted. And in that way, we can not only improve what we have, but also expand the voiceover industry so that more and more clients use voiceovers for their needs.
Hear, hear. Thanks so much, guys. I'm so glad you took some time for us today, and I hope this helps for a lot of people to understand, you know, first of all, how Voice 123 and Voice Bunny have come into fruition and how it really was a birthing in the market, and other companies came in and followed, and it's still holding its test in time, and I think doing a fantastic job. And I think, especially for the pros, a lot of people that haven't used Voice 123, if you haven't, I encourage you to try it now and really do follow that SmartCast. I also really encourage that tutorial. I think the tutorials are also really important, and Steve does a great job of explaining why it's up there, why it works the way it does. And then with Voice Bunny as well, it's nice to, you know, I like the way you guys have explained it because it does keep it up with what today's needs are. And most clients and a lot of jobs you see now are posted by a word count or a finished per minute rate. And that's kind of where you guys have gone to. So hear, hear for keeping on melding with the industry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you, Debbie.